build somebody up, you're not to say it. Even if it's the truth, if it's not said appropriately, you don't say it. That's a mark of maturity. You manage your mouth. James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Okay, you can know all kinds of things, memorize 1,000 verses, you know, but if you don't keep a rein on your tongue, he says, your religion is worthless. You don't want to be constantly shooting off your mouth, like just blowing people away. Okay, we've gone through. Chapter 1 is about what? Positive under pressure. You have a positive attitude. Chapter 2 is being sensitive to people. Do you show love in your action? You keep the royal law. Chapter 3 is, do you master your mouth? Okay. Chapter 4 has another characteristic that's important. And this is, a mature person is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. And that's significant to look at your life. Are you a peacemaker? Chapter 4, verse 1 starts out and it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Okay, he's talking about conflict here. He's saying there's a conflict going on. Well, why? Because you've got these desires inside and you're letting your desires control you. He goes on here and he says, in verse 2, he says, you want something but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you have wrong motives, that you may spend on, you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay, you see, here's a sign of immaturity if you're a person with a lot of contention. What that says is you're thinking so fast that you're willing to be at odds with people to satisfy your desires, instead of being able to stop and say, well, what does God desire? And say, is this what God wants me to have? Is this what God would have me do? Okay, there's a battle there. You should, in this case, it's conflict, so you should be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Are you someone that gets in a lot of arguments with people? Do you like to argue? Are you contentious? Are you someone, you get in an argument, you have to say the last word? You got to get in another shot. You know, people like that, and they won't stop. They are diehard arguers. They're contentious. Another thing that causes it, do your feelings get hurt easy? If your feelings get hurt easy, you're very self-focused. You're really concerned about how people look at you, and your pride is in the way. And that tends to get your feelings hurt. And you may not argue outwardly, but you may really be upset inwardly. And that tends to bring a person who's contentious. They're thinking of themselves, not thinking of others. Here we have the mark of a mature person would be a lack of conflict in your life. You know, you have peace with God. You have peace with yourself. You have peace with others. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you guys are a bunch of babies. You just argue about everything. You know, they argued about tongues. They argued about spiritual gifts. They were having the Lord's Supper and they'd get drunk or eat all the food, not share with others. Very unspiritual. He says, real immaturity. And that's what he says, that's wrong. Those are signs of immaturity. We need to evaluate our life. What is our life like? Do you have conflict with your friendships? Do you have a long legacy of people back down the road who you couldn't get along with? And so you got a lot of burnt bridges with friendships. You know? That's not a good sign of maturity. That's a sign that you're very self-focused and you're concerned about yourself more than others, and you set yourself up to get in a lot of conflict. And it's important. Christians should not have conflict. They shouldn't have burnt bridges behind them. They should be at peace with people, and then they can be at peace with God. Okay, would your life be characterized as conflict or peacefulness? James gives a couple reasons here for the conflict. In 4:3, he says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives that you might spend on your own pleasures. Okay, this is just really selfishness. Conflict comes from selfishness. You fight over things that you want. It's very self-focused. And you know a person is self-focused when that's what they're thinking about. Even Christians who pray, listen to your prayers. Are your prayers for, well, Lord, help me with this. Help me do that. If that's the whole focus, you're still very self-focused. It's not that God doesn't want us to talk to him about things, but your prayers really ought to be a lot of outward ones, praying for other people, praying for things, God's work. You find out you're not so self-focused. Another area here that is difficult is pride becomes the issue that causes a lot of conflict. Proverbs 13:10, it says, only by pride comes contention. Okay, pride causes contention. Conflict is really related to the ego and pride. I know with my wife and I, when we're in contention, we can stop and look. And one of us is really concerned about ourselves, that we're not getting something. Or our pride's in the way that we think we're being hurt, and we're not good at listening. We're not good at hearing what God wants us to hear to make a change. It's very self-oriented. Pride guarantees conflict, whether it's in church, home, school, wherever. Pride just causes conflict. And when you're prideful, you can't hear people correct you, and you won't grow towards maturity. Second cause here would be in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. He says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Okay, another source of conflict is really judgmentalism, because you're evaluating the person. And most of our evaluations are done on the basis of reading people's motives. Well, we think their motives are this. And it doesn't mean you throw out everything that they do and be tolerant of everything. But what you don't tolerate sin, but it means you still accept the person. You just don't tolerate their actions. You don't accept it as saying, oh, that's fine. You don't judge because you're saying, you're not God. You don't know the motives of people's heart. And that's when we judge. He says there's one lawgiver and it's God. Only God knows the facts. Only God knows the motives. And God really knows what actually has happened. And we have to be very careful that we don't jump in and go, well, you did this, or you were thinking that, or and you prejudge people's motives. He says, no, you don't do that. If you see that their action is clearly sin, you can acknowledge that it's wrong. But you do it in a gracious way, not a judgmental way. Because he says you be careful that you take the log out of your own eye before you go after the speck in somebody else's eye. In other words, we tend to be very judgmental of people in areas that we're guilty of, because we are sensitive to seeing what's right and wrong in those areas. And we don't know the motives. John 7:24 says, stop judging by mere appearances, but make a right judgment. Okay, he says, stop judging by mere appearances. That's why the scripture says, also he says, let those who are spiritual go and correct a brother. In other words, you have to be very careful that you have dealt with issues in your own life before you go around removing the specks from other people's eyes. You've got things in your own eye that you need to deal with. And he says, if you don't, you start judging people. You'll raise up conflict real quick. You say, well, you do this wrong, and you do that wrong. Well, that just brings a lot of conflict. And how you say it to people is important. If you say it in a loving way, it says a harsh answer stirs up anger, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so it's how, if you think something's not right, in other words, you see it as sin, you're not to be tolerant of it, but God tells us to be very careful. We make a right judgment based on God's truth to the people who are sinners. And if we know, we also struggle. We're not perfect. So we're not to be tolerant of sin, but we're to be gracious and kind to the person, not in an arrogant judgment. Christ didn't call us to cease being examining and discerning, but to renounce the kind of the presumptuous temptation to try to be God and judge others. So God says, make a right judgment. You be careful about it. Okay, God says if you're selfish or you do judgmental, you're going to cause a lot of conflict. That's the fourth characteristic. You ought to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. And your life ought to be one that really has a backlog of people behind you that with good relationships, not burnt bridges. Okay, let's go to chapter 5. This is the fifth characteristic about maturity. And a mature person is a patient and a prayerful person. Look at the number of verses here that'll talk about it. The word prayer and the word patience are used repeatedly in the chapter. Verses 7 and 11 particularly, they're the key words. Patience is used 4 times in this chapter and prayer is used 7 times in this chapter. And that's a mark of a mature person. The two really go together. They express an attitude that is dependent upon God. Verse 7 says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. How patient he is for the fall and the spring rain. You too be patient. Stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged." Okay, he's saying be patient. And he gives this illustration of a farmer. If you know farming, you got to be patient. You got to prepare the ground. You plant the crop, and then it just doesn't come up, and the next day you harvest it. You know, it takes months for it to grow. It has to develop. It goes through the stages. You plant that seed, and you hope and you pray that it grows. No instant overnight crops, and you have to trust God. You have to be faithful. Many times God'll say when we pray, and he says, "Well, maybe not now." Or not yet, but you know, he still gives us an answer. We're to be patient, we continue trusting God, and we're also to continue asking. He's going to connect prayer here. He says, you got to wait, you got to develop and grow. Verse 5:16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the Lord produced its crop. Okay, here Elijah was patient, and he was prayerful. He had to wait 3.5 years to go through this process, but he's very prayerful. Okay, so here's tests of maturity. Chapter 1 is handling problems. You can handle things under pressure. You're not negative. You're not a grumbler or a griper or a complainer. Chapter 2 is you're sensitive to other people. Are you concerned about their needs, their desires, their cares, their hurts? What's your focus individually? Chapter 3 is that you manage your mouth. Have you learned to put a muzzle on it when it needs to be muzzled? Control what you say. Just because you have a juicy piece of gossip, you don't say it. If it's not anything that doesn't encourage, you don't say it. You damage people that way. You're to manage your mouth. Okay, chapter 4 is, are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? Do you have a tendency to stir things up? Do you have a short temper? Do you have a trigger tongue? Fires off quick. You shoot off at the mouth. You wound a lot of people. Do you carry a grudge? Are you nursing bitterness? If you are, you'll retaliate quickly with your tongue. Okay, a sign of maturity here is you're a real peacemaker. You're at peace with God, then you can be at peace with other people. In chapter 5, you're patient. You trust God and God's timing. You're willing to wait for things. Wait, you don't want it right now. Unless you ask God, and in time God will give it. You know, how long do you have to wait for an answer for prayer before you give up? God may want you to, you know, you keep praying at it. I know people who've prayed 40 years for their parents to come to Christ until they did. It's a long time to be praying for. Okay, now let's be really serious about it. How do you rate yourself? How are you as a mature person? You take these 5 areas and you say, well, how do you do on them? How do you do with your tongue? How do you do with being patient for people? Do you spend time with God praying? Do you like to relate to God? And you listen to Him. Listen to Him speak to you. How do you handle pressure? When the pressure's on, are you an uptight person? Or are you someone who you can step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, this is hard for me. I don't understand it. But you're going to be in control. And you let God be in control of yourself. Okay, how are you doing on it? Are you a peacemaker? Are you patient? Take a moment and think about it. What are areas in your life that you need to address that would help you become a mature person? What would it take for you to take the next step in your spiritual walk to become more mature? Take one of these areas and think about it. I'd encourage you today, stop for a moment, go back and say, how am I doing in this area? And write down things that you don't handle as well as you should handle in them. And then go before God. Don't just say, oh, that was good. Oh, that's good to know. But say, okay, address the issue. Take it to God. Say, God, I want to change in this area. Make it a real issue. Let's pray. We'll close with that. Father, we thank you for your word, for the book of James. It's a practical book. It's a manual for Christian living. We thank you that it doesn't deal with just theory, but it deals with areas in our life that we need to work at. Father, we desire to serve you. We want to be a light for you in a world that needs people who walk before you and represent you in a Christ-like way, that people would see Christ when they see us. They don't see us with our flaws and our hang-ups. But we would ask you to help us to grow in our maturity, that we would be effective for you as Christians, that we can be used by you as a tool to draw people to you, to be effective for your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.